2 Kings 7 in your Bible tonight. 2 Kings 7, Brother Mick's going to come and we'll enjoy a good song tonight and then we'll jump in. And 2 Kings chapter 7.
Stood on Calvary's hill, it was crucifixion day. The time had come to pay sin's debt, and death was the only way. A hammer and a soldier swing beat out redemption. Broken by the blood, the rusty nail shook the gates of hell and started a crimson flood. To one and all who would heed the call, there waited liberty, and the truth remains and will never change. His blood still sets man free. There is no cross on Golgotha like there was when Jesus died, and the crowd has passed away that stood and watched him crucified. 2,000 years have come and gone since that day on Calvary. But the blood that flowed from God's own Son is still setting sinners free. From precious veins, the sinner's chains were broken by the blood. The rusty nail shook the gates of hell and started a crimson flood. To one and all who would heed the call, there waited liberty. And the truth remains and will never change. His blood still sets man free. From precious veins, the sinner's chains were broken by the blood. The rusty nails shook the gates of hell and started a crimson flood. To one and all who would heed the call, their way. Change. His blood still sets man free, and the truth remains and will never change. His blood still sets man free.
Man, good song tonight, Mick. Thank you very much for that. All right, let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, please be with the lesson. Speak to our hearts, and I pray that You'll use what we're going to do the next two or three Wednesday nights to better our church. And Lord, put us again back in the mind of being obedient to You as we seek to serve You in this generation. Thank You so much for these folks that have come out. Help us tonight to have a good time in Your book, in Jesus' name. And amen. Look with me at 2 Kings 7, verses 9 and 10. Now we're going to pick up the story, pick up our reading in the middle of the story about the four leprous men. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came, and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. Now, you'll recognize this passage from the message that Brother Wyatt brought last Wednesday night when he was here to give his report on the work in Tanzania. So I'm not going to spend much time going over the story in detail this evening because he did that last week and did a good job of it. But I just want to point out in these two verses, and we're going to use this as a launching pad tonight. After the four men found these four leprous men, you remember outside the camp, you know, why sit here till we die? We're going to die here, we're going to die there, so let's take a chance. And so after the four men found the Syrian camp deserted, they went from tent to tent. They began to eat, they began to drink, they began to spoil the newfound treasure, and they would eat and drink. They'd go to a tent, eat and drink, take the treasure and go put it up. Then they would go to the next tent and do the same thing. They went from tent to tent doing that in the camp of the Syrians, and after a while, they felt guilty. And they felt very guilty, and they said, you know what, we do not well. That's what they said in verse number 9. They realized that they should share this news because the people were starving to death. There was great famine to the point where they were eating their own children. It was that bad. And so they said, we got to share this news. It's not right for us to sit on the news of this food and this drink and this treasure. We're wrong to sit on this news. And so they got up, and in verse number 10, they went and they shared what they knew about the Syrian camp and all the food and all the drink and all the treasure that was there. They shared that news with people who could help those who were starving. Now, let me just say this tonight. This newfound treasure was a gift from God. God gave them this as a free gift. They didn't merit it. They didn't deserve it. They were leprous men. They were cast outside the city. They were sent out there to die. And so this reprieve, if you will, this gift, this food and drink was a gift from God. And you know, I want to remind you tonight that so is our salvation. You and I did nothing to merit salvation. You and I did nothing to earn it. Jesus Christ paid for it in full, and all we did to get saved was receive the free gift of eternal life. All right? Now, in the same way that these four men were wrong to sit on the news of the food and drink, we are wrong as God's people to sit on the news of forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven. We're wrong to sit on the news of salvation and not share it with those who are in need. And so I want to talk a little bit tonight and next week, and then we'll have the conference, and then we'll come back. I want to talk a little bit. Brother Stone, I don't think this is going to work. Let me try it one time. If it doesn't, then we're going to just have you advance it for me. I'm going to use the PowerPoint tonight a little bit. For you and me, it is a time to share. It's a time to share. That's exactly what these people did, these four leprous men. Now, they went to share the good news about the food and the drink. And there was a bunch of it. There was enough to feed, just to feed a bunch of people. There was an overabundance of food. In fact, the prophet, the man of God, had prophesied this. And one old boy had laughed at him. And there was so much food there. And when the people found out about it, they stampeded. And this old boy who was doubtful, he got trampled to death. He never had a bit of it. He got trampled to death. And so, but they said, you know what? It's not right for us to sit on the news of this food and drink when people are starving to death in this famine. And so it's a time to share, a time to share. You can go ahead and advance it to the next slide, please, if you will. Now, in order for them to share the news of this food and drink, they had to be a witness. They had to be a witness. That's what they did in verse number 10. They came and called unto the porter of the city, and they witnessed what they had seen, what they had heard. They said, hey, the Syrian camp is empty. It's deserted. Nobody is there. There's an abundance of food. There's an abundance of water. It's free. They're all gone. It's there for the taking. And they witnessed, they shared from there with what they had witnessed, what they had seen and heard. And that is, my friend, the definition of a witness. What is a witness. Well, the Bible defines the term for us. In Acts chapter 22 and verse number 15, Paul is giving testimony about his salvation on the road to Damascus. When God came with Jesus, he saw Jesus Christ, that bright, bright light, and he was knocked to the ground blind, and then he's giving a testimony about that occasion. And this is what he said that God told him. He said, Paul said, God told him, for thou shalt, or what was his name that came to, what was the man's name? Was it Simeon? No, it wasn't Simeon. What was that? Oh my goodness, I've forgotten the guy's name who was sent to talk to him. This is the guy that was sent to talk to him. Told Paul, said, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. So this is what the man who went to see Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus then, this is what he told him God's will was. Thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. What is a witness? A witness, go ahead, Brother Scott, if you would. A witness is one who testifies about what he has seen and heard. I'm sorry that's so low. You may not be able to see that. But a witness is one who testifies about what he has seen and heard. Can you go back to the previous slide, please? This is what Paul was told. You're going to be his witness. Whose witness? Christ's witness. You're going to be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. What have you seen, Paul? Saul. What have you heard, Saul? Well, you're going to be a witness to all men. Go ahead. That's what a witness is. A witness is one who testifies about what he has seen and heard. And folks, you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know tonight. I'm just coming to you again, like we have to do every so often, at any church has to reset and redefine and revisit the things that make up fundamental, foundational Christianity. And being a witness is one of those things. Go ahead to the next slide there, Brother Scott. You remember that Jesus told the disciples when he got ready to ascend up to heaven, he told them in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know what they had just asked him in Acts chapter 1? They had just asked him about his kingdom. Jesus, now that you've died, now that you've been buried, and now that you've risen again, is it time for you to set up your kingdom? They're still interested in the kingdom. That's okay. They're Jews. Okay? They're still interested in the kingdom. And Jesus said, no. Not time for the kingdom. And folks, you know, we still got people like that today. We still got people who are more interested in the kingdom than they are witnessing. We're not kingdom builders. They asked Jesus, is it time for you to set up your kingdom? He said, no. That manner and time is not here. But here's what I need from you. Now, you asked me about a kingdom. It's not time to worry about the kingdom, but here's what I want you to do. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses, not kingdom builders. We're not ushering in the kingdom. That's not our responsibility. Jesus ushers in the kingdom when he comes riding on that white horse at the end of the tribulation period. And he sets up his millennial kingdom. That's his business. Our business is to be witnesses. What does a witness do? A witness testifies about what he has seen and heard. A witness testifies about what she has seen and heard. And this is not the only place where Jesus visited with these men and women about their responsibility. It's in Matthew 28, it's in Mark 16, it's in Luke 24, it's in John chapter 20, and it's in Acts chapter 1. Five times. It's recorded five times in the early part of the New Testament what Jesus expected of his followers. What he expected of his followers. This is the last thing he told. By the way, I don't see anything in this about y'all get together and discuss this. I don't see that. I don't see anything in this about y'all get together and, you know, you kind of think about this and see if you're going to decide if this is what, you know, pray about it and see if you'd like. What I see here is expectation. Am I the only one that sees that way? I guess so. I won't change my mind. It's expectation. That's what it is. It's expectation. It's not an option. It's not something to discuss or pray about. It's what Jesus told his followers. Ye shall be witnesses. Well, that was good for those 120 that were with him. You believe that? You believe that was only good for the 120 and it stopped there? Friend, if everybody else had your opinion, you wouldn't be saved tonight. Somebody brought the news to me. Somebody brought the news to you. No, that didn't stop with that 120. No, sir. So ye shall be witnesses unto me. This is his last command. Last words are important. We've talked about the illustration of the changing of the guard there at the tomb of the unknown in Arlington Cemetery. And however many minutes goes by, and then they bring a new sentry, and the sentry going off duty is there, and the sentry coming on duty is there. And some of you have seen it and visited it, and it's one of the most impressive things in American culture is the changing of the guard at the tomb of the unknown. It was just impressive. And so that's that commanding officer, he says to the post coming off duty, I can't quote those words, it's something like, what are your orders? And the sentry that's going off duty says to the sentry that's coming on duty, post and orders remain as directed. That is repeated every time they change soldiers. The same words, post and orders remain as directed. The orders have never changed since it was instituted. And church, our orders have never changed since Jesus left for heaven. Never changed. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. This is what Jesus expects of his people. Okay? So this is what Jesus expects of us, is what Jesus expected of them. Ye shall be, what does a witness do? A witness testifies as to what he or she has seen and heard. Okay, Brother Stone, if you will go to the next one. Now, we have for us a biblical method. We have a biblical example of how the new church in Jerusalem, that first church, these guys that he told to be witnesses, we have an example of what they did to carry out the marching orders of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So there's the Bible method, the Bible example. They were in the temple, yes, and they were in every house. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Later on, the Bible talks about the fact that they had filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. Filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. So they didn't do this one week or one time. They didn't cover just a portion of the city. They filled the whole city of Jerusalem with their doctrine. Now, this is the biblical method. A couple months ago, maybe three, I forget, I preached a message here that I entitled Keeping Feet on the Ground. Keeping Feet on the Ground. Jesus instituted this thing of people going out and being a witness. He sent out the 12 2x2, and then he sent out 70 2x2. And you know what? I understand things have changed. Technology's changed unbelievably. Communication with the internet and all of that, radio, TV, it's incredible. But friend, I'm not against those things, but I don't think you and I have the liberty to abandon what Jesus started. He started it. He sent the 70 out 2x2. He sent the 12 out 2x2. And here the church in the city of Jerusalem, they went out and they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. They witnessed. They carried out the marching orders that Jesus Christ left them. Okay, Brother Stone, thank you. Now, here's what happens, see, when people are obedient to the orders of Jesus Christ. When one who witnesses comes in contact, this thing is no good. When one who witnesses comes in contact with one who is under conviction, the potential is conversion. The potential of that meeting is salvation. People, we are still in the New Testament church age. I don't believe we've started into the tribulation yet. I believe if the tribulation had started, we would be gone. That tells me that the Holy Spirit is still working through people. The Holy Spirit is still working on hearts as He always has been. One of the Holy Spirit's ministries is drawing people to Jesus Christ. Drawing people to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, when He comes, He will speak of me. He's not going to make Himself a priority. He's not going to talk about the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. When the Spirit comes, He's going to magnify Jesus. When the Spirit comes, He's going to lift up Christ. I think the Spirit of God is still doing that. I think the Spirit of God is still drawing people to the Lord Jesus. In America, it may not be in the numbers that we saw in previous generations, but friend, that's not our worry. Our worry is not how many. Our worry is just to obey the orders that Jesus left us. Continue to be a witness. Now, when we take the Lord seriously and we go out to be a witness and we're seeking God's help, eventually, you and I are going to cross the path of one that the Spirit of God is working on them and they're under conviction. And when a seeking sinner being drawn to Christ by the Holy Spirit is confronted by a sensitive soul winner, the potential is salvation. That's what the potential is. Because there's the sharing of the gospel. Sometimes it happens when you're at work. Sometimes it happens when you are on your lunch break. Sometimes it happens over the back fence in the neighborhood. Sometimes it happens, you know what? It happened this way. Last Wednesday night, a young man had been coming to church here. He's staying with a couple over here. And it was in church last Wednesday night. And the lady came at about 8, a little after 8, to give him a ride home. The service didn't end until about 8:25. She walked in the foyer. And Brother Ray was working the monitor last week, so he was out in the hall. And thank God he wasn't asleep out there, because that's not what they're supposed to do. She came in, and he started talking to her, and she said, "I'm here to pick up so-and-so." And he said, "Well, the service is still going." She said, "The sheriff started talking about the missionary boards and all this." And I don't know the conversation. You'd have to ask Ray how the conversation developed, but she became very interested. It was obvious that she was very interested in the things of God and the Bible, and I've been thinking about this. He said, "Look," he said, "I go out every Saturday with the pastor. What if we come over next Saturday, 10:30 in the morning, and we'll talk to you about this?" And we did, and we spent, oh goodness, I suppose an hour there, and she was on her knees trusting Christ as her Savior when we left. Now, God, the Spirit of God, is still working on hearts of people. You know, I would hate to think that I know I'm saved, and I know how I got saved. I know the Spirit of God worked on my heart to bring me to the place of salvation. I would hate to think that that's how I got saved, but now in this day, He's not doing that anymore. That's a little bit presumptuous. That's not my choice. That's not my decision. That's God's business. So God is working on hearts. Again, it's not my decision, not my business to figure out how many, what's going on. What's my business is to witness. You know, and you know, some people you're going to talk to when you witness, and it's obvious God's not working on their heart. It's obvious the devil's working on their heart. Real obvious, right away. But then you find one that God is working on. Okay? The potential there is salvation. You've got Bible example after Bible example after Bible example of this. I mean, over and over again in the New Testament, there was a Spirit of God working on a sinner's heart, and the Spirit of God took a sensitive soul winner to the sinner who was under conviction, and the potential there was salvation. Okay, next slide, Brother Scott. Now, if you have no reason for your actions, you will eventually quit doing them when they are not convenient. Why? You know, if you ever have been a witness, why were you a witness? If you're a witness now, why are you a witness? If there were no church organized soul winning time, would you still be a witness? Those are fair questions. They're fair questions. And it's pretty quiet in here. Okay? So you know what, folks, if you have no reason for your actions, you'll eventually quit doing them when they are not convenient. It is not always convenient to be a witness. Not always convenient. And if the inconveniences get so great, you know, to the point you don't really have any reason for what you do, then eventually you're going to quit. You say, you know what, if you have a reason for what you do, and this is one thing I'm trying to help us remember tonight, this is not just some activity that we schedule to make ourselves look busy. This is the orders that the Lord Jesus left us. Be a witness. Be a witness. Be a witness. Be a witness. So, we have some reasons for what we do. That's the last orders of Jesus Christ. Now, if I get that down in my heart, you know what? I may not, and I've told you over and over again, I don't labor under the pressure to be the best at anything. I labor under the pressure to do my best. I think everybody should. But I am not the best soul winner, but I want to tell you something. By the grace of God, I'm going to continue to be a witness until I can't do it anymore. Until I lose my mind, which may not be so far away. Or I lose my health and I can't go out and talk to people. But, you know, I'm not doing it because it's part of the church activity. I'm doing it because Jesus Christ left me a command. And that's why you ought to be doing it. Next one, please, Brother Scott. Now, Why be a witness? Well, there's several reasons. If you want some reasons for your action, I already talked about number one, it is commanded. Number two, it encourages believers. Yes, the bottom one, number four, is the ultimate. You know, but not the ultimate, but I guess the thing people get saved. That's a great reason to go out witnessing. People do get saved, and that brings glory to God. But at the same time, I believe that witnessing encourages believers. Encourages believers. I remember when Brother Caleb was here and Caleb would tell stories about seeing people saved. I remember how encouraged people were. Because the stories about people getting saved encourage believers. Why be a witness? It's commanded. It encourages believers. It brings glory to God. People get saved. Next slide, please, Brother Stone. Now, what hinders witnessing? Well, there are several things. Galatians 5:7, ye did run well. It's very interesting what the next word is. Who? Not what. If I was writing the Bible, I think I would have put the word what in there. But I didn't write the Bible, so God did. He put the word who in there. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Who's teaching? Whose influence? Whose whatever? And somebody comes under influence, somebody comes under teaching, somebody comes under somebody's influence that for some reason gives them the thing to believe that they're that witnessing thing is not for us, and that's not how God works. Who did hinder you? Who did hinder you? You know, why? What hinders witnessing? The next slide. There's a couple of things I'll talk about. Number one, fear of the unknown. Number two, lack of priority. I'm not going to deal with number two tonight. That's more of a preaching thing. I want to deal in tonight, next Wednesday night, with this matter of fear of the unknown. I still believe that most folks are afraid to be a witness simply because it's the fear of what are they going to say? How am I going to be received? What are they going to do? You know what? I'm not sure that fear ever goes away. So if you're waiting for the fear to go away, I tell you what helps. Yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit helps because the Bible says the Holy Spirit gives you boldness. Boldness. That's what the Spirit of God does. But the fear of the unknown. Now, you know, we were out yesterday. This would have been Monday for a little while, Monday afternoon, Greg and I. And we only spent probably about 2 hours, but only about an hour and 15 or 20 minutes going door to door. And I'll be honest with you, when I got out of the truck, walking to the first door, we'd already made a couple visits, but when I got out of the truck, walking to the first door to just begin door to door, door knocking, there was that, what is going to happen? He gripped me. I've been doing this since 1976. I think that doesn't change. Okay? Now, one thing that will help the fear of the unknown is to get down in your head your plan of action when you go out to witness. Okay? So, this is what I want to talk about tonight a little bit. I'm not going to get through the whole thing. Let's go to the next slide, Brother Stone. One thing that will help you with your getting over the fear is to be properly prepared as far as materials. You want to have a New Testament with you. I just have never been able to comprehend. You know, I see these guys get on the bus for teen soul winning and don't even bring a New Testament. What are you going to say if you don't have a Bible? What are you going to say? You know, it's like a soldier going to war with no armor and no ammunition. You need a New Testament. You need some tracks. It helps to have a pen. Prospect cards help. If you don't have prospect cards, you can go door to door. But at least have resources so that you are prepared when you go out to go witness. Okay, next one, please. Now, I think one of the things that may help a little bit is, and some of you have heard this before, so this is not new. This is revisiting. But four phases of the introduction. It is during the introduction that a soul winner will strive to earn the trust of the person they're talking to. I told Greg on Monday, we are living in the most suspicious day and age we've ever lived in. And you know what? I don't blame him. People knock on my door. I'm wondering, what in the world is going on? Who's at my door? Well, you think they're any different? No. So, you know, it's a suspicious thing. Now, you know, the politicians had been down the street in front of us. And so at least I was prepared to say, you know, if somebody said, are y'all politicians? I was going to say, no, worse than that, I'm a preacher. But anyway, I didn't get that chance. Nobody said anything. So what do you say? That's what people are afraid of. What do you say when you start the conversation at the door, when you've knocked on the door? What takes place during the introduction, Brother Scott? Now, the greeting. During the greeting, you'll want to introduce four things. This will help you if you just get it down. The first thing you always want to do is give your name. You've got to tell them who you are. Okay? You can't start talking to somebody without telling them who you are. That'll make it even more suspicious. Your partner. Hi, I'm Terry Angel. I pastor Faith Baptist Church over here in Bourbonnais. This is Greg Payne. This is so-and-so, whoever I'm out with. Okay? Introduce yourself. Introduce your partner. And I say right up front, we're out visiting from Faith Baptist Church. I just say it right up front because I want them to know. I want them to know I'm not a Mormon. And when I go out witnessing, I don't wear a white shirt and dark pants and a black tie. Okay? So, this is I'm Terry Angel, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. This is my partner, so-and-so. We're out visiting from Faith Baptist Church, and we're in the area to pass out some information. And we got those little things for common sense. For April showers. And so Monday, we had a whole stack of these things, and we're out passing some information about some special services that we're having at Faith Baptist Church. I think out of all the people we talked to on Monday, we were only declined twice. Only two people said, no, thank you. It might have been more than that or less than that. I'm thinking twice. One man, one woman. No, thank you. Now, not everybody was overjoyed to get it. One lady, Greg has a very good prospect for Sunday morning from Monday. A great prospect. I'd be surprised if she doesn't come, and her husband, and their kids. Good prospect. And, you know, when you got something like this in your hand, it makes it real easy. I'm Terry Angel. This is Greg Payne. I pastor Faith Baptist Church. We're out from the church. We're having some special services. And I've got a little invitation I wanted to leave with you. We're just out in your neighborhood passing this information out. Most of the time, that at least relaxes them. At least relaxes them, okay? And so you want to take a little time. You don't want to just have them open the door. Are you going to heaven or hell? You know, that doesn't work, okay? And the worst thing you can do is, we're from Faith Baptist Church and here's something. You got to be a human. Slow down. Get your wits about you. Tell them your name. Tell them your partner's name. Tell them where you're from so that they know what you're doing, and then that you've got a little information for them. And if it's something special going on, if it's not something special going on, you at least need to have tracks, and you have a track, and you say to them, I have some information here. I love this little track right here. I love that little track. I love the plan of salvation on the back of that thing. It's all out of John 3:16. That's great. And everybody knows John 3:16. I heard it. So you just have information. So you tell them your name, your partner's name, your church, and your purpose. Okay, thank you. That's in the introduction. Okay, now, thank you, Brother Scott. Go to the next one. Now, the connection. I've been through this before with you. I gave this to Brother Caleb back when he was here, and he used it. Here is a simple, that I got this from some. I think I got this from C.W. Fisk. I believe I got this from C.W. Fisk years ago. Here's a simple acronym that will assist you in making a connection. Now, you can learn this, or you can employ the Jim Vineyard method. And the Jim Vineyard method, he told us years ago, he said, some of you boys are nervous about what to say at the door. You don't know what to say. He said, now let me help you. Go to the door and knock on it. And when the person comes to the door, stand there and go. And he said, I'll promise you, before the next door, you'll think of something to say. So that was his. Now you can do that, or you can learn this. All right? Help. What do you need standing at the door looking at somebody? But folks, you know what? We really have to get beyond this. We go to the bank and talk to people we don't know about a loan. We make appointments to talk to people that we don't know about all kinds of things. But somehow, we got it in our mind, I can't talk to him about Christ because I don't know him. That's odd. We can get on this and get on that. We can talk to all kinds of people, call somebody up about buying a product or see something on eBay, see something on Amazon, call somebody, Craigslist. You got no problem going on Craigslist, brother, and calling all kinds of people we don't know and talking to all kinds of things. Until it comes to talking to somebody about Christ, well, we can't do that, I don't know them. Well, let's apply that to everything. Let's just stop talking to people that we don't know about anything. Hello, Brother Angel. It's a little quiet here on Wednesday night, but that's all right. We, folks, there are people with valid reasons for not being able to go out and be a witness, and then there's a bunch of folks with excuses. Excuses. So when you're standing at the door, you're looking at somebody that you don't know, and you're trying to, you know, you're knocked on their door, you're at their house, and you know, what are you going to say? What do you need? You need help. Help. Banana man, help. Okay. H. That goes back a long ways. Okay. And some of you with young kids, you need to get that. You need to get Patch the Pirate, Banana Man, and all that stuff. All right. H. Humidity. What does that mean? The weather. The weather is a conversation starter with a lot of people. You know, that's where I... Where was I that one time? I'm not sure I was out visiting. It might have been just at a store talking to a guy. I think I told you what he said. We were talking about the fact that there was no snow at Christmas time. I said, strange that there's no snow. He said, yep, brown Christmas, white Easter. Remember that? Brown Christmas, white Easter. People talk about the weather. So if you don't know what to talk about, you know, hey, my name's Terry Angel. This is Greg Payne. This is so-and-so. We're out from Faith Baptist Church. We're having some special services, and we just wanted to come by and drop you an invitation to our church. Hey, it's a beautiful day, isn't it? Now, if it's raining, you know, be smart, okay? But you could talk about the weather, okay? You could talk about a hobby. I'll tell you one reason why Caleb Hansen, there's several reasons, but one reason why he was so effective, and I went with him, I know, I watched and observed it. One reason he was so effective, at least talking to people, was he didn't miss a trick when it came to hobbies. As he was walking from the sidewalk to the door, he was looking, if he saw any kind of thing in the garage that indicated the man was a hunter or a fisherman, if he saw a pretty bed of flowers, he didn't miss a thing. I'll use flowers a lot. I'll use landscape a lot. Ma'am, your flowers, these are absolutely beautiful. I've said that so many times to people. So, you know, if you see a guy with a boat, you see a guy with a mount in his garage, you know, he's got a fish on the wall, he's a fisherman, he's interested. There's all kinds of things that you can start. You've got things on you can talk about when it comes to them having a hobby. It breaks the ice. If you can't deal with weather or hobby, you can talk about, hey, do you work in the area? You have a job, you work? Yeah, you can talk about their employment. E is employment. L is loved ones. You know, if they've got little children, you have to be sensible and careful. But how many times at the door have I said to a woman, a mother with her child, or dad with his children, well, you got some cute kids. Those are your children. Talk about their children. Talk about loved ones. And then the word P is the letter plan. You want to talk a little bit about something to try to make a connection with these people, because the goal is to get down to the plan of salvation. And after you've visited with them about the weather or a hobby or their job or their loved ones or something, you know, and it could be this, not anything that's part of this HELP. You know, it could be something that's happened in our country. It could be an election. It could be any number of things. But after you've visited with them a little bit, then you say, listen, before we go, I'd like to ask you a simple question. Just a simple question. I heard Greg say that the other day. He said, look, before we leave, I'd like to ask you a question. What's that? That was her answer. What's that? And when you, okay, Brother Stone, so now this is where you want to turn the conversation to spiritual matters, particularly salvation. So you've got to be kind of howdied with them, broken the ice a little bit, and now it's time to turn the conversation. The goal for this turning is to turn the conversation spiritual without causing them to become defensive. Hey, before we leave, can I ask you a question? And I think you have two choices when it comes to the question. Next slide, brother. Tips for the turn. I forgot this was coming up. I should have had it. Tips for the turn. When you are getting ready to say, can I ask you a simple question? You could say something like this. Hey, are you familiar with our church? You know where we're located? And now that we have a building that looks like a church, sometimes people are familiar with it. Okay? Are you familiar with Faith Baptist Church? Or, let me ask you a question. Did you grow up in church? Do you attend church? How often do you attend? You know, I get a lot of, yes, I attend church. When I ask how often do you attend, you'd be surprised. And I'll always try to give them an out. Hit and miss, more miss than hit. Yeah, more miss than hit. That's how it is. So these are little questions that you can ask when you're trying to turn the corner here. And then you say something like this, okay, the next question. Okay, it's at this time that the plan of salvation should be introduced with a thought-provoking question, and you have two choices next. Okay, Brother Stone, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'll go to heaven? That's a question you can ask. If you're to die today, 100% sure that you'll go to heaven. Or you can ask this question, have you ever been what the Bible calls born again? That's two simple questions. That will turn the conversation. I'm going to tell you what that will do. That will probably either open the door for you to go a little bit further, or you will find out real quick that this conversation is ending now. Okay? It's over. And that's okay. That's all right. I want to tell you something, friend. The reason, look, you say, so you don't get your Bible out, so you don't get to go through the plan of salvation. You understand that salvation came to their doorstep. If they reject it, that's one thing. If as a church we don't go to their doorstep, that's another. That's completely different. I wouldn't want to stand before God someday, stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and be responsible for hundreds of doorsteps in the community where our church existed and salvation never went to their doorstep. Boy, oh boy. I don't see that pleasing to Christ. Not based on what He told His disciples to do. So we're talking here about something that, you know, that when you get this far, hopefully you're either going to get to go ahead with the plan of salvation. You might get cut short. You know, things come up all of a sudden. You know, hey, look, all of a sudden they've got to be somewhere. All of a sudden, you know, there's a baby that's got to be checked on. All of a sudden, and by the way, you'll find out that at this point in the game, all of a sudden the phone will ring. Or somebody will come pulling up in the driveway. That is never coincidence. That has never happened chance. That is always Satan resisting the witness of the gospel over and over again. Now, the fear of the unknown. What I tried to do tonight, because I can't remove the fear completely. I go out to visit. There's still that uneasiness in my soul, in my heart, that I just have to overcome. I'm going to go up. You know, a guy said to me the other day, I don't understand how y'all keep doing this. I don't know what to, it makes me afraid. I don't know how you get over it and keep doing it. I'm not sure you get over it. Just do it. Just go. I got a reason for it. I got to go. So it's time to go witness. So you get to I can't take away the fear exactly. You know, and Brother Caleb went through, he did a similar PowerPoint, was it 2 or 3 years ago in January, maybe 4 years ago. But time goes so fast, escapes my memory now. We took several Sunday nights in January, went through a PowerPoint presentation like this. This will be maybe a little bit different than how he presented it. I'm going to go through what I do with the plan of salvation. When I witness to somebody, I have to tell you how I do it. But you know what, folks? The bottom line is this. Fear of the unknown, I can try to help you with that. Lack of priority, you're going to have to deal with that. I can't help you. I can encourage you, try to challenge you, you know, and say, man, look, it's our responsibility, but you're going to have to deal with the lack of priority. I'm going to tell you something. We give all these excuses for reasons that we can't do it, but it's so easy for us to do everything else in the world. When you start looking at all that, well, I'm scared, and I just can't, the fear of the unknown. Tell me that you never ventured into a new job? You never ventured into anything new? Sure you did. There's always a little bit of fear when you start something new. It's just making it a priority. Making it a priority. And I'll tell you, the honest truth of the matter is, you know, we as a church will never get past the responsibility to take the gospel to this community. Never will. Well, we've been to every street. We'll go through every street again. Well, we've been to every door. Whew, good. I'm glad we didn't miss any. I'm glad Faith Baptist Church won't say, you know, someday I stand up there before the Lord Jesus, give an account for this church's business and activity. And you know what? Salvation never went to half the doorsteps in your community. Well, is that what we want? No. It's a time to share. It has to be done over and over again in the life of a New Testament church. It just has to be revisited and revisited and revisited and revisited and revisited. And it makes people uncomfortable. And it makes people, I don't know. And we got all these excuses. And again, I can't do this because I got kids. But we do a lot of things in spite of kids. Yes, we do. Do a lot of things in spite of having kids. But for some reason, we can't be a part of an organized soul witness. And part of this, we need to work on it ourselves and get the SWAT, the soul winning at alternative times, more active again, and find the times to go with guys at times when they can go. I understand that. Not everybody can go on Tuesday night. Not everybody can go on Tuesday morning. Not everybody can go at this appointed time. But you know what? It's a time to share, folks. For us to sit on the news of salvation is not right. It is not right. It would have been horribly wrong for those four old boys to get all the food they could eat, take it to their house, and sit on it. Horribly wrong. And it's horribly wrong for us to sit on the gift of salvation. A time to share. Want to be a witness for Christ. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll help us, Lord. This is such a fundamental part of our Christianity. And Lord, a part that the devil fights so hard. I pray that You'll help us. I pray that You'll make us effective. I pray, God, that You'll help us to be faithful. And Lord, I pray that You'll help us to make it a priority. Lord, I pray that You'll give us fruit for our labors. And Lord, if You choose to, that's wonderful. If, God, You withhold fruit for whatever reason, then Lord, it's still, we want to be obedient to You. And I pray that You will, from time to time, God, lead us across the path of those whose hearts You're working on and bringing conviction to them. Speak to our hearts about it. Examine us, Holy Spirit. And Lord, lead us to be a faithful witness and help us to follow You. The Savior said, follow Me and I'll make you fishers of men. Help us to be a witness in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, give us a brief invitation song tonight.